Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
And so a modern day concept would go something like this. It doesn't really matter what you believe, what counts is what you do. But that is absolutely ridiculous. You see, the philosophical and theological term for that line of thinking is baloney.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Well, that's my cue. And the red light is on, and when you're in the studio, when the red light comes on, that means you are recording. So that means we are off to the races. The train is pulling out of the station here for another program over the radio, over the internet. Maybe you're streaming this from the website. But here we are again, Truth Seekers. My name is David Markham, and this is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, and I'm excited about the opportunity that God's given us today. Who knows what He has in store? We will find out together. But I do want to go into something new today. We finished up a teaching series last week and going to start something new today. I don't know how long this will last, but I want to begin by just giving you some personal information, just some things that God's been doing with me for the last several years. It seems like there is a reoccurring theme in my personal walk with the Lord over the last, 5 to 7 years. And God has been taking me personally on a journey of faith, beginning to investigate what this faith walk is all about for the Christian. This started for me about 7 years ago with a particular moment that I can remember just like it happened. If it were to have happened this morning, it's just that real to me. I was driving my vehicle down the road through Texarkana, Texas, just through the township of Texarkana, and I began to come up on a parking lot that was to my right. And in that parking lot, this was the scene that I was looking at. There was an ambulance, and two paramedics were standing on either side of either a man or a woman. I could not tell. But obviously, the person was seated there, and they were not feeling well. Something was going on medically, and the ambulance was there with them. And I passed by that, kind of looked at it as I passed by. And within about 200 yards or so of seeing that, several things went through my mind very quickly. But basically, this was the thought that I had. I thought to myself, how amazing would it have been if I had seen that coming up in that parking lot, and I had whipped into the parking lot in my vehicle and stopped and parked and got out and walked over to that person, knelt down in front of them, and said something like this: "Do you believe that Jesus can heal you?" And they would have responded perhaps yes or something in the affirmative, and I could have said to them, "Then get up, because you're well, you're healed." And then I simply got back in my vehicle and drove away. And as I looked at that scene, within just a couple of hundred yards of passing that, that's the thought that was going through my mind. And I remember the thought just was very simple. It was just, how neat would that have been? How cool would it have been to be able to be a part of that moment? And here's the thought that God hit me with. Like, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was just simply this: then why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? And it was one of those moments that just stopped me cold as God dropped that into my heart. Then why didn't you do it? Because here's what I meant. I realized in that split second with the Lord, I knew that God could heal somebody like that. No doubt in my mind. But I did not have the faith to take the step to initiate that moment so that God could do that with that person. I believed He was the God that could do it. I knew that He had done it. I knew that He still does that in this present day and age. But I did not have the faith to step forward and be that person that initiated that moment of faith. And so from that moment, God sent me on a journey of investigation and learning in the Word. It was a journey of sanctification, as so many things in my personal walk with the Lord at that from that place has just advanced since then. But I began to realize so many things. I can't. My point is not to recap this journey. It's just say that that's where this started. And what I want to get into here is just an extension of that, because I want to talk about faith for a little bit. But I've come to realize this, that if you want to boil down the Christian walk and how to live and how to walk out this Christian existence, you can really boil it down to two words, two catch phrases. They're not really phrases, but two key words in the Christian life. We hear these words all the time. They're not new to us, but two words that can really encapsulate what this Christian existence and doing it correctly and do it rightly is all about. It boils down to two words: faith and grace. Faith and grace. And just to give you that simply, and we'll probably talk about it more in a little bit, but rightly understood, correctly placed faith from a child of God onto the right object in the right way opens up the grace of God to pour into your heart and life. When our faith is right, and when grace is being poured out liberally from our Heavenly Father above, then victory in the Christian walk has been attained. And it is not something that happens one time and then you're good for the rest of your days. No, this is a lifestyle. It is learning the lifestyle of faith that opens the floodgates of grace. And there's so much more teaching that has to go around that. But just to suffice it to say, I want to talk for the next week or two about faith, but I want to do it through looking at the life of a particular man of God from the Old Testament that's mentioned in the New Testament. In fact, our key verse here in just a moment about this man of God is going to come from the New Testament. But we're going to spend some time talking about faith through the prism of looking at the life of Joseph. Joseph, the patriarch of the Old Testament, we've many chapters, the backside of the book of Genesis is about Joseph. We're going to look at some of that. But primarily want to begin from a verse about Joseph out of the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 22. And here's what it says. By faith, there's our key word, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. I want to read that again because it is the beginning of these next few radio programs. Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, that's how he did it. There's the substance of how it all happened. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. And he gave instructions concerning his bones. And for the next few weeks, I want to teach a short teaching series that I've entitled Faith and a Box Full of Bones. Faith and a Box Full of Bones. We look at Joseph and talk about the concept of Christian faith. Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, this is a big concept, Lord. The understanding of faith, correctly understanding faith, what that means to us as truth seekers, as individual men and women, boys and girls, as we walk out our Christian walk with you and through you and in you. God, this this concept of faith and correct faith and rightly placed faith, the right object of faith. There's so many important aspects of this because, God, I truly believe that you brought me to a place to begin to see that this is what our Christian walk is all about. And Heavenly Father, I ask that you would anoint me to teach it rightly. God, don't let this be about David or my thoughts or my concepts or my feelings. God, help me to open your word. And because of that, I need the Holy Spirit desperately, Lord. Desperately that the Holy Spirit would fill this broadcast studio right now to teach in such a way that the truth seekers, the listeners, hear and receive and are changed. God, my words as a man can't change a heart, but your words have been changing the lives of men and women for decades, for generations. Lord, would you do it again? In Jesus' name, amen. Faith in a box full of bones. I remember when I was young, listening to my father preach, and he preached a sermon one time when I was young that he entitled "Faith in a Box Full of Bones." And as I was a young guy, I just thought that was about the coolest sermon title I'd ever heard. And as I was studying the life of Joseph just here recently, and the Lord began to outline some teaching and some potential sermon material, what have you, in regards to faith and, you know, in this, what we're going to talk about. Well, that sermon title came back to mind. So, Dad, I borrowed the title of your sermon. I don't know how much of what I'm about to preach or teach actually was found in your sermon. I was young then. I was little. I don't remember what you preached about. But the title worked, and so I'm using it for this. And so I think since it's in the family, that's permissible, I hope. But let's talk about a few things. Let me spend some time introducing this teaching, which is what I'm going to primarily do today. I may get into the first major point of the teaching today, but I want to talk about a few things that are really going to set this up. And I want to begin with a quote from a gentleman named Mark Victor Hansen. Here's what he said. He said, "Your faith determines your action, and your action determines your results. But first, you have to believe." Let me say that again. Your faith determines your action, and your action determines your results. But first, you have to believe. Now, truth seekers, we live in a day and time, very relativistic day and age that we live in. Truth doesn't matter anymore as it goes across the culture. Nowadays, truth is not important. In fact, truth kind of gets in the way. You see, when you talk about a black and white, you know, line in the sand type of truth that you can't get over and you can't do away with, well, that crowds people in, so they think, into having to live their life a certain way. So what we have done in this day and age is the modern day philosophy in this postmodern era is to get our eraser and to erase the lines of truth. Now, we can't do away with the fact that there is some sense or common sense tells you that truth is a concept, but we've redefined what it is. You see, we don't say that truth is an absolute anymore. We say that truth is what you really believe and want it to be. And so a modern day concept would go something like this. It doesn't really matter what you believe. What counts is what you do. But that is absolutely ridiculous. You see, the philosophical and theological term for that line of thinking is baloney. That makes no sense. To say it doesn't matter what you believe, you can believe whatever you want to believe. That's up to you. That's your personal business. Just don't let your beliefs get in the way of my beliefs. So it doesn't matter what you believe. What counts is how you perform and what you do. But without getting too much further afield, the truth is just this. Everything that you do is based and is built on what you believe. You believe something first, that determines how you proceed and how you live and how you act. And so what Mark Victor Hansen is saying here lines up much better with the reality of how things operate. But he goes a little step further and brings faith into the equation. He says your faith determines your action. There it is, what you believe determines your action, and your actions determine your results. But first, you have to believe. Your faith determines your action. And this is a truth that I believe is scriptural because it is proven over and over and over again in the life of Joseph. Joseph was a man that learned how to live by faith. And his faith determined his action because God was with Joseph. And we read that throughout. If you read the chapters in Genesis, several chapters that give the account of Joseph's life, over and over and repetitively, you will see that phrase, God was with Joseph. And so when Joseph was given many dreams, he had the faith to believe that they were from God, even though he didn't know exactly how they were going to come to pass, but God had spoken to him. And so when Joseph's brothers were against him because of the way that his father treated him and what his dreams possibly could have meant, the Bible says God was with Joseph, and Joseph kept his faith in the Lord. And when he was thrown into a dry well at the bottom of that well and sold into slavery, he didn't give up. He didn't give in. He kept his faith in God, and God was with Joseph. And when Joseph was sold into slavery to Potiphar, God was with Joseph, and the favor of God was on Joseph, and he rose up in the ranks of Potiphar's home and became the go-to man. Second in command under Potiphar and his wealth and his riches and his business, Joseph was in charge because God was with Joseph, and Joseph's faith was on God, and therefore his actions resulted in that which pleased God, and God blessed Joseph. And when Joseph was thrown into prison for something that he was not responsible for, because he kept his faith on God, God was with Joseph. And when he came out of prison and found favor with Pharaoh because he had favor with God, God was with Joseph. And through a series of events, Joseph found himself blessed above all in Egypt, second in command to Pharaoh himself, in fact. And instead of losing sight of who he was and what his life was really all about, in the face of riches and claim to fame and power and glory, he kept his faith on God, and God was with Joseph. And when the day finally arrived that Jacob, Joseph's father, who he had been estranged from for most of his life, when the day came that God restored Jacob and Joseph and all of his brothers together again in Israel, God was with Joseph. And because God was with Joseph, because he walked by faith, God had favor over Joseph's family, his father and his brothers. There was famine in the land, and Canaan was wrought with famine. But Joseph had access to the fruits of Egypt, to the bread of Egypt, to the wealth of Egypt. And Pharaoh loved Joseph. And because Pharaoh loved Joseph, he blessed Joseph and his family with a place to live and to stay inside Egypt, so they did not have to go back into the famine-ridden land of Canaan. And the reason that Jacob and all of Joseph's brothers were blessed to move into the land of Goshen, the best that Egypt had to offer, was because Joseph lived by faith, and God was with Joseph. And then we come to the end of Joseph's life. As the children of Israel and all of Joseph's family are now sitting happy and healthy and wealthy and pretty in the land of Goshen, blessed there by the best that God could give them through the best that Egypt had to offer, we come to the end of Joseph's life. And this is the scripture that we find in Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. Now listen to this. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. By faith, Joseph was able to offer a prophetic word, as it were, to his family as they gathered around his deathbed, because by faith, Joseph lived in such a way that God was with Joseph. You see, the story of Joseph could have ended at the bottom of a dry well were it not for his faith. And the story of Joseph could have ended in a dirty, dank prison in Egypt were it not for his faith. And the story of Joseph could have ended with him being the best Egyptian he could be, forsaking his father and his brothers and his God and becoming ingrained into the Egyptian way of life. But even though he lived with the best that Egypt had to offer, Joseph did not leave who he was. Joseph stayed true to the promise that Joseph was told about as a young man. He stayed true to the God that he loved as a young man, the one that brought him out of the well, the one that saved him from the hands of his brothers, the one that saved him from the prison and a death sentence perhaps there in the prison, at least lifetime prison imprisonment. He stayed true to God. He kept his faith on God. He never stopped living by faith. And because he lived by faith, he died by faith, proclaiming to those that would listen to him, his kids and his family around his deathbed, this very simple message that we read in verse 25. You're not going to stay here. You see, as good as Egypt has been to us, this is not our lot. And Joseph knew that, because Joseph was living by faith in a promise that God had set aside a land for his people in Canaan. And there's going to come a day. Now, Joseph didn't know when it was going to be, but he was letting them know something even in his dying breath. You will be visited by God in this place. He's not going to leave you here. Even though you're living in blessing here, this is not our promise. This is not our destiny. God has a destiny set aside for us, and it's in a promised land by a promised people. The promise he gave to Abraham wasn't the best that Egypt had to offer. The promise he gave to Abraham was something better than this, something more than this. And Joseph had the eyes of faith to say, God is going to come and visit you in Egypt. Joseph knew that God was going to carry them back to the land of promise. And here's what Joseph wanted them to do. See, it says that he took an oath with them. In other words, he said, promise me something. When God comes and visits you here, don't you leave my bones in this place. I have been a pilgrim in a foreign land for all these years, and I may die in a foreign land, but my homeland is Canaan. And when God comes to remove you, promise me this, that you will carry my bones away from this place. And there the writer of Hebrews echoes this in chapter 11, verse 22, when he says, by faith, through the eyes of faith, believing in the thing he could not see, but what he knew was true. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. If Joseph had ever stopped living by faith, then he never would have been able to make such a faith-driven, faith-filled proclamation at the end of his days. Now, I have just a couple of minutes left today, and here's where I want to conclude this introductory beginning to this teaching series. If you are in need of revival today, if your life is not what it should be with the Lord. If you can look back and you remember that there were days that there used to be a better day spiritually than I am today. It used to be better than this. My relationship with God used to be more impactful. It was more vibrant. It was more real. It was more alive. It made a bigger difference in my life and the life of others. There was a better day. If there was ever a better day, scripturally, spiritually, if you're in need of revival today, then I want to make a statement as we close. The primary cause of your spiritual sickness is that at some time in the past, you stopped living by faith. And that's what we're going to get into. The necessity of living by faith, because it is by faith, the right kind of faith in the right object, that we walk successfully and victoriously through our day-to-day life as a Christian man, as a Christian woman. And if you've come to a place where your heart's not right with the Lord, you see, at the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. At the heart of every problem, there is a problem of the heart. And I promise you, the place where you veered off the path that you were once on is when your faith shifted and you stopped living by faith in Jesus Christ. When our faith falls off of Jesus Christ as the object of our faith and it falls onto anything else, we stop living by faith and a heart problem begins. Faith and a box full of bones. We'll see in the next few weeks exactly what that's all about and what Joseph and his life may be able to show us about how to live a successful Christian existence. I'm excited about it. I hope you've had your interest piqued, and I hope you will come back again next week as we begin to look at the fact that faith gives us correct identity. Correct identity. And what does that mean? Well, you have to come back next week to see. And until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.